horsemen are riding with lightning speed. The fourth one, a veiled horse, always soon will pass. For horsemen are riding, they're riding so fast. Judgment is coming when the harvest is past. The earth, it will tremble. God has chosen his wrath. For horsemen are riding, they're riding so fast. I see a red horse and rider have come to take me, and there's a black horse with violence at last. For horsemen are riding, they're riding so fast. So fast, judgment is coming when the harvest is past. The earth, it will tremble. God has chosen his wrath. For horsemen are riding, they're riding so fast. Rider pass by, the rich man, the miser, the great men will cry. For the hills and the mountains and the rocks to arise, to hide from the great day and God's wrath to arise. Take this warning, prepare for what comes. Accepting salvation and believe in his son. The promise he's given, it may be your last. For horsemen are riding, they're coming at last. Four horsemen are riding, they're riding so fast. Judgment is coming when the harvest is past. The earth, it will tremble. God has chosen his wrath. They're riding so fast. For horsemen, they're riding so
And good evening to the remnant. Welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live this March 30th, 2023. And hey, thanks for joining me tonight on 7x70. There's lots going on here in the world and plenty to pray about. Hope you like that little Western theme intro. I sure do. I think that's from the Magnificent Seven. Heck, I don't know. I just like it. I don't even know where I got it. But again, welcome. It is March 30th, 2023. Thank you for joining. Hope you have your Bible. Going to talk a little bit, read a little bit from the Bible tonight. But got a couple current events to start out with, because I think those lead us right into the Bible times. They are a sign of the times that we find ourselves in, the signs that, are all around us, if we'll care to look. And so what should we do? What should we do? Well, one thing we should do is pray. We're going to open up in prayer. I hope you'll join me. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy upon your people to allow us, Lord, to have another day of life, another day of that abundant life that you bring. And we praise you for it. We thank you for it. Lord, in the midst of the trials and the troubles and the sorrows, Lord, that are all about our land, Father, we still praise you. We praise you that you keep your word, that your word is true. It is truth. And Lord, everything else can be a lie. But Lord, we know that your word is truth, and we thank you for it. Thank you most of all for your son, Jesus Christ, that went to the cross to die a horrid death to save a wretch like me, a wretch like those of us, Lord, in this land that have turned from you. Thank you for your love, your mercy, for your faithfulness. We thank you for that. Father, I pray your blessings on your remnant, Father, on those that have turned from the ways of the world and Lord, have returned to you. We speak your blessings on them, blessings of health and peace and prosperity, Lord, and endurance and strength to continue through these days that you have for us, Lord, to strengthen us these days, to teach and train us. Help us, Lord, to do, Lord, as you direct. We thank you for this. I pray your blessings on this broadcast to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, again, remember here, March is almost over. Tomorrow, being the last day, and then the 1st of April, and that brings us to Sunday, April 2nd, which will be Passover. And that's the 14th day of Abib, the solar year beginning on the spring equinox. It's not a complicated matter, real easy to figure out. And we hope you'll join us Sunday evening, a little earlier this year, 6 p.m. Central. That's still in the evening, 7 p.m. 6 p.m. Mountain, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, at just like you can join us for church at scriptures4america.org. And we are planning a Passover service. Jason and I have been talking about it, and I think we're going to kind of tag team, have some songs, and I think both of us kind of have a little share some of our thoughts with Passover and have a live Passover service Sunday evening. So we hope you'll join us. We hope you can. Kind of mark now, I know that the evenings are getting busy. The days are getting longer. Our sunrise is about a little after 6 in the morning, and sunset not till after 7 in the evening. And so being that the days are longer with the sun, I understand it gets busy. It does. And but I do hope that you'll mark your calendars, that you will take time to join us for a Passover service. And we'll partake of communion there. I'm sure we'll be speaking on that. And we understand, you know, we always go back and talk about how, you know, the original Passover and the blood on the doorpost and the lamb and the things that happened there, and I'm sure we'll talk about them Sunday. We understand today that, yes, Christ is our Passover. But see, Christ was in that old Passover just as Christ is in those Old Testament scriptures, that they are a foreshadowing of him, a foretelling, a preparing the way for him. And so we, you know, we don't just talk about the Old Testament, but we don't just stay in the New Testament either. We have all of the scripture that is inspired and for our learning and for our application today. And so that's what our plan is. And we sure ask for your prayers for Jason and myself. We do for the Lord's guidance and leading on exactly what to bring, which way to go. We've been talking about it for a few weeks, and both of us are still working on the message to bring. So, well, some current events. Put it out on our prayer chain today. Kentucky had two Black Hawk helicopters crash last night, and all nine service members on board both aircraft perished in the crash. So I do ask you, Remnant, to keep their families in your prayer. Hits close to home. I can tell you it does. It's awful close. But keep their families in your prayer. They are fathers and brothers and sons and uncles and maybe wives and daughters and sisters. I don't know that if there were any women involved, but I do ask you to keep their families in prayer for peace and comfort from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It seems like it's moving out of the news cycle, but you know, this I'm sure we've all seen it this past week, a piece of sinning filth. Murders, six, including three children there in Nashville at a Christian school. Certainly a hate crime if there ever has been one. They were targeted for what they believed, for what they practiced, because they were different than other people. And when you see the response is, oh, it's the Christian's fault. They drove her, it, this depraved, degenerate being. They want to blame the Christians for causing this. And you see, oh, that it's coming out time and time. The ungodly filth sinners are calling her, he, it, whatever it was. I don't know what it was. It was a demon, I can tell you that. A martyr goes in and kills six innocents. And they're the martyr. Because, see, in war, that's how it is. You know, in war, in World War II, the Japanese kamikaze pilots were considered heroes for bombing, for dive bombing, crashing their aircraft into our naval forces, our ships, killing our people. They looked at themselves and the people in their nation as heroes because it was war. It was war. And that's how, Remnant, I hope that you see this. I we have to guard ourselves, and I've got notes tonight on faithfulness and things like that. We have to guard ourselves. We definitely have to be aware of these things, but I tell you, I have to guard myself to keep from getting worked up and worried and fretting, because we're told not to do that. And we're told not to do that when these things happen. We are to be angry. We can be angry with a righteous, godly indignation and sin not. And that's what the days that we are in require. It is. It is. And so, you know, a couple of New Testament scriptures. Let's look at New Testament Romans, okay? Romans. Let's look at Romans 1, 21. For even though they knew God, they didn't honor God or give thanks. They became futile in their speculation. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And let me tell you, professing, what does that make you think of? Maybe a professor? And most, I would say all ungodly professors have fallen into this very category. They are, they suppress the truth in unrighteousness, as it says a little bit earlier. They profess to be wise, but they are fools in their lives. They are fools in their heart. And they, it says here, they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man. Verse 24, Romans 1, New Testament. For this, therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their heart to impurity, so their bodies would be dishonored among them. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. See, the truth of God is available to them. They took it, and they went down to the marketplace, and they said, I don't like this. I want to trade it in on something else. And they trade in these degenerate, depraved people like this filthy piece of sinning crap that got shot and killed by police, praise God, after she killed, or it killed six innocents. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Because they don't want that truth. They don't have, the truth is not in them, the Bible says. And they exchange that truth. That abundant life that Jesus Christ died on the cross to bring you and me and them. And they exchanged it. They said, I don't want this. I want a lie. And then it says, and they worshiped and served the creature. The creature. Rather than the Creator. And that's what they are, creatures. You know, when you exchange the truth of God for a lie, you become a creature of instinct, the Bible says, created to be destroyed. Let's read on. Romans 1, 26. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. Their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. The same way the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and turned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Verse 28, just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind. Remnant, use these terms when you speak of these depraved, degenerate fools that are in our midst today. Speak of the, use the proper terminology that they are creatures of instinct created to be destroyed. Romans 1:28. Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do the things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God. Haters of God, and I'll add, not to add to the word, but the thought occurs to me, haters of all that love God. Jesus said we would be hated for following him, that they hated him without a cause, and that if we followed him, they would hate us without a cause. Do you see the word of God being brought alive and proven in our land today? It goes on, they are insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, Don't trust them as far as you can throw them, and I hope you can throw them off the edge of the Grand Canyon. They're unloving. They are unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Now, if that does not describe the filth, the depraved, the degenerate, the creatures of instinct that we have in our land today, those that profess, those professors professing to be wise, but are fools, because the word says, the truth says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And that's what they are. They have exchanged the glory of God for that of corruptible man. See, they've put themselves in the place of God. Now, you know, Remnant, I do my best to pray for them. For those that I know that have done this, I pray for them. I pray, you know, I've got several on my prodigal list that I do my best to pray for every day, that they would be, that they have done this very thing. They have exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they believe a lie. And I pray for them to repent. The ones I know, I have half a dozen I pray for by name, that they would repent, that they would come to their senses and return to God. Now, if you look at the world, you look at the statistics, statistically, it's pretty rare. Okay? We're realists. We are. We know. We are. Our God's not a genie in a bottle that we can just rub and say, oh, genie God, make all these people better. No, that's not how it works. But we continue to pray. You know, God himself says, I think I read it just a week or two ago, that, you know, he takes no delight in even in the death of the wicked, but desires the wicked to repent. Should we not desire what God desires? But we need to be aware that now if they repent and return, great. But until then, this fits them. They are filled with all unrighteousness. They are haters of God, inventors of evil, untrustworthy, without understanding. Use this New Testament, this Romans chapter 1, Remnant. That's what we need to do. We need to be using the truth of God when we talk about these things, when we are asked about these things, when they come up. You know, that degenerate, depraved piece of sinning filth, that murderer got what it deserved. Because the wages of sin is death. And that's what this describes here in Romans 1, is sin, transgression, the breaking of God's law. Because God has thou shalt nots to this. Thou shalt not put anything before God. And he describes these creatures of instinct that have done that. And then he describes in this New Testament the wrath of God. The wrath of God. And that's one of the reasons we pray for them, is we want them to escape the wrath of God. Some don't. Some, like that piece of puke that was shot and killed in Nashville by the police, oh, they're going to face the wrath of God. There ain't going to be any confusion then. You know, we see it to a lesser degree. I see the headlines. Finally, today it's revealed that ex-President Trump will be indicted. Arrested, handcuffed, who knows? See, that's why it comes up now. Why does it come up now? You know, it was supposed to be about 3 weeks ago. But that was kind of a slow news week. And then they put it off for a week or so. Oh, made the announcement, we're going to do it. And then they held off. And now, I believe it's put on now. It's never been done. Everyone can see that it's just out of revenge. It's just, it proves that the they, not the us, but the they, that they're scared to death of this outsider exposing them. They're scared to death that he may rally Americans. They are. And they're trying to, the ones behind this, our enemies, the enemies of Christian America, they're trying to provoke an internal civil war in the U.S. They've been trying to provoke one between the races for the last 60 years and have been unsuccessful. And this is, I think, another ploy at that, to try to provoke the Christians to take up arms. And, they play chess. They play three-level, multi-dimensional 3D chess. And we're still trying to figure out checkers. And they want to take our focus off this war, this attack on innocent Christian lives, this hate crime enacted against Christians in a Christian school. They want to get you thinking about something else. And internationally, and Remnant, it's a live program tonight, the 30th of March, 2023. Phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. Internationally also, saw this headline. We've talked a little bit about this. I actually had an article in the newsletter, last year, 2022, talking about the yen, the whatever the Russian dollar is, I forget, but the dollar and all that, and how especially Russia and China are working to trade, but apart from the dollar, not have to convert everything into dollars and then back and all that. And so now Brazil inks a deal to use the yuan, Y-U-A-N, the Chinese dollar, not the American dollar, in trade with China. And so aggressive efforts from the past 5 years by China to limit the influence of the U.S. dollar and slowly convince the world to use commerce using the yuan, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. So, interesting article. The deal with Brazil, China is their number one import exporter. They deal with Brazil deals with China more than anyone else, more than they deal with anyone else. Billions of dollars of trade impacted, upwards of $150 billion in trade volume throughout 2022. Says China has been Brazil's largest trade partner for 13 years. And as part of this, they call it the BRICS coalition: Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. And they have openly sought ways to distance the world economy from the American dollar. And so, we know that Putin is underway with that. Xi and China is. And I mention this to you because it is change. No, not little coins change in your pocket, ching-a-ling, ching-a-ling. But it is a change. It is a change, is what it is. It is a change in a world economy. It is a change in the in the system, you might say. And so, again, something to be aware of. You would think, being that you know, the dollar has been what's been traded for the last 50 years, that, you know, if that's changing by the world's number two and number three, or number one and number three economy, that might be news. But it's back news stuff. Oh, no. Trump is going to be indicted. That's what you have to focus on. Oh, yeah, by the way, a lot of the people they've held illegally in prison since January 6th, I guess they're finally letting some of them out, being that the videos are coming out showing that we saw live what we told you we saw live as it happened, not that we were there. The police were escorting these people in. They weren't rioting. They weren't the greatest. It wasn't the greatest insurrection of all time. And so these things are being made known. And that's a good thing. It is. It's a good thing. It shows that the enemy is scared. They are pulling out all the stops. They are running, you know, just every which way, doing all they can to make something work, since it's not working anymore. Hosea. Phone lines are open. Hosea, but we're gonna read in Hosea here. Hosea 4, starting at verse 1, says, "Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land." Now, there's an out right here as well, because the Lord has a case against the inhabitants because there's no faithfulness, there's no kindness, and there's no knowledge of God in the land. And if you think this applies to that state of Israel over in the sandbox, because, you know, there ain't none of that there either. Well, you just better. Anyway, didn't want to go there. Didn't. But what you can do then is say, well, I don't want the Lord to have a case against me. So guess what? You can practice faithfulness. And you can practice kindness. That's what we're told to do. And there's no knowledge of God in the land. Well, guess what? You can increase your knowledge of God in the land. You can draw nearer to God, and He'll draw nearer to you. It says they're swearing. Well, let it be them that swear, and not us. Okay? I hear people that just, because they think it's okay, just throw out the words. F this, F that, GD this, GD that, whatever. You know, and it's like, well, I don't do it on purpose. No, it's the flesh, idiot. God has a case against the inhabitants of the land because of swearing. So how about watch your mouth? How about get rid of the locker room talk and talk like you would, or at least you should, in front of your mother, so that God doesn't have a case against you? Swearing, deception. How about don't lie? How about make it a point, even if it hurts, to not deceive? Because God has a case against the inhabitants of the land that deceive. So if you don't, well, at least He won't have that case against you. There is murder, there's stealing, there's adultery. They employ violence. Bloodshed follows bloodshed. We're in the midst of this, remnant. I understand that. I just hope that when you see this, that it is a an instigator for us to make sure we guard ourselves from these things. You know, now maybe the big ones, you know, adultery, murder, something like that is big, but, you know, the swearing, that's listed right here with murder. The deception, the lying, the stealing. And verse 3 says, therefore the land mourns. The land mourns. And everyone who lives in it languishes. Oh, I think that describes us today. I tell you, the six families that lost their loved ones in Nashville last week, they're languishing. We should be too. The families that lost their service members in that training accident last night, they're languishing. And you know, it's hard to make ends meet. It's hard to have enough money at the end of the month to do and to all the things that we need to do. Because we're languishing. Because the land mourns. Because the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land. We are told not to fret. We are told to cultivate faithfulness. We again, when we see this, these things, it is Hosea describing the times that we're in, the times that he was in, to wake up the people, to let them see that the things that they had been doing were not pleasing to God. Psalms 37. I love Psalms 37. Psalms 37 tells us, do not fret because of evildoers. That is hard to do. It's hard to not fret. It is for me. If you've got I understand these instructions that we are to read them and follow them and apply them, and I do my best too. And, you know, maybe it's just me, but I sure need to work on this, to be encouraged, to read the word and trust the truth and be reaffirmed with the truth, and to cultivate faithfulness in knowing that God's got it worked out, that we just have to do, you know, have to make sure he doesn't have a case against me. I got to do what I can do. No, not for righteousness' sake, but because he's already redeemed me. Is that not my duty to obey him? Him who gave everything for me and for you? What a blessing this is for us. Do not fret, it says, because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers. You know, when David writes sometimes, Lord, how long? Oh, Lord, you know, these people, they get fat and happy, and they don't have any problems, and it just gets better and better and better for them. We have to guard ourselves against that. And cultivate faithfulness. Plant a little more of it. Hoe those weeds out around it. Water it a little bit. Cultivate it. Because verse 2 says, they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. You know, we ain't got no green outside growing right now because it is all withered and faded way last fall. And it ain't got green yet again. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Okay, Lord, I'm not going to fret because of evildoers. I'm not going to be envious toward wrongdoers. I am going to trust in you, and I am going to do my best to do good, to love you, to love my neighbor, to share one another's burdens, to trust in you, to cultivate faithfulness. It says, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. See, we are here for this day. We are here for this day because we can. We can trust in the Lord and do good. We've been trained. We've been handpicked, selected out of the billions to understand, to come to this knowledge of who we are and what we are to do. Do good, he says. Do good. Trust and do good. Dwell in the land. Verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Lord, I desire the ungodly to repent, or to be off the land or under the land. That is the desires of my heart, O Lord. And so if I want those, I have to delight myself in the Lord. I have to wait upon him. I have to delight, to rejoice at the hardships and at the trials. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment is noonday. That's judgment for you, not judgment against you. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil doing, for evildoers will be cut off. So see, if you fret about it, that leads to evil doing. That leads to you being an evildoer. And I'm talking to myself, seeing myself in the window here. And evildoers are going to be cut off. Well, I don't want to be cut off, Lord. I want them to be cut off. So I am not going to fret. I am going to give it to you. I am going to trust in you that you will comfort these families, that your judgment is right and true, and it will be upon these evildoers, upon these that will not repent. It says, but those that wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. O Lord, strengthen me, let me have patience to wait that little while and to not fret. It says, you will look carefully for his place and he will not be there. Whew. Amen. 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 You know, we without this faith that God will take care of this, we are to be doers. We are to be doing good. We are to be doing these things. We are to be having faith in him, that he will work it out for good. A couple verses in Hebrews regarding faith. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. There's that action again, who seek him. Does that mean just that we go on a sabbatical? I'm looking for God. I'm looking for God. No, you can read his word. That'll draw you nearer to him, and him nearer to you. When you do good and trust in the Lord, that draws you nearer to him. That helps you get closer to him. When you don't fret, when you delight yourself in the Lord, all these things we are to do. And as we all know, it's not all a bed of roses. it's not always easy. And even then, we're not to fret. Hebrews 5, verse 8, speaks of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hebrews 5, 8 says, although he was a son, meaning although Jesus was a son, Jesus learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Although Jesus was the Son, Jesus learned obedience from the things which Jesus suffered. So, remnant, are we learning through our suffering? Are we learning obedience from the things that we suffer from as Jesus did? Shouldn't we? If he, God in the flesh, and see, that's the flesh part. If the flesh part, if he learned obedience from the things that he suffered, he allows us to do that as well, if we will. If we won't fret, oh, but we're suffering, Lord. I'm worried and I'm anxious and I'm mad and I'm angry. Well, all creation is suffering. We need to make sure we are learning from that. Let's finish up with Hebrews 12. I got a couple minutes I can read through this. Got a few verses here to read. We'll wrap up with this. And Hebrews 12, starting in verse 1, says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. You know, and that cloud of witnesses, I think, is the examples, the daily examples of God's blessings and grace and protection. But also the remnant. Oh, it's not a very great cloud. It's just a little fog here and there. But we know of others that keep the faith. Oh, we know some that haven't, but we know some that have, and they are examples for us. We read on. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, he who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so you will not grow weary and lose heart. And that's my prayer, remnant, that you don't grow weary and lose heart. We cannot grow weary and lose heart. And if we consider him, he endured. Verse 4 says, you have not resisted, yet resisted to the point of shedding blood, and you're striving against sin. And have you forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. Verse 7 says, it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. So let us not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Let us use that 2020 hindsight as we have come through, as we have endured before, let us endure again. As we see this devastation, destruction in our land, let us do our best to not fret, to not worry. But let it encourage us to plant a little more faithfulness, to cultivate it a little bit more, to pull a few more weeds, so that faithfulness will grow and prosper and bring glory to Jesus Christ. Well, Remnant, that's all the voice I got tonight. Thank you, and join us Saturday morning for coffee. Hope you'll join us Sunday morning for church and Sunday evening for the live Passover service. May the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless those of you that are His, bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you, and be gracious to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night.
And there you will see four horsemen riding with lightning speed. The fourth one on a veiled horse, always soon he will pass. Four horsemen are riding, they're riding so fast. Is past, the earth it will tremble. God has chosen His wrath. Four horsemen are riding, they're riding so fast. I see a red horse and rider have come to take me, and there's a black horse with violence at last. Four horsemen are riding, they're riding so fast. So fast, judgment is coming when the harvest is past. The earth it will tremble, God has chosen His wrath. Four horsemen are riding, they're riding so fast. His rider passed by.
This is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.